The Word of God for this afternoon's preaching will be from Psalm 134. The final psalm of ascent, Psalm 134. Give attention now to the Word of God. A song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Brothers and sisters, you and I were made for worship. We were made to worship God. When God made Adam and Eve, our first parents, He placed them in the Garden of Eden that He Himself had planted. And Eden was a sanctuary, a place of worship. It is what the later tabernacle and temple were modeled on what Eden was meant to be for the created beings God had made, for man and woman, men and women, to worship Him. That's why when you look at the tabernacle and the temple, we find a lot of images of fruit, a lot of the carvings and designs draw us to a garden scene. And the cherubim that were that guarded the way to the tree of life after we fell was sewn into the curtains that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, the very presence of God, barring man from the presence of God except for that once a year ceremony on the Day of Atonement when only the high priest could enter in. Eden was a sanctuary, a place for us to bless God and to be blessed by God. And even after we've sinned, we lost that access. We were kicked out of the garden. We were removed from the presence of God. And yes, there was the tabernacle and the temple, and yet all of that pointed to new access, a greater access, a restored access to the presence of God that God was going to give us in Jesus Christ. And it is through Christ that we in the New Testament church have had the best access to God that sinful man has ever had, the best opportunity to worship God, the closest we can draw near to God that man has ever had, all because of the blood of Christ, that perfect sacrifice that was shed so that you and I, our sins could be atoned, all our sins that separated us from God could be put away, and God could draw us near to Himself again. And we can again, in Christ, live out our purpose, live out our reason for being, our very purpose in life, which is to worship the one true God. And nothing then should give us, if we're living out our life purpose, nothing should give us greater joy in life than worship. Nothing should give us greater sense of fulfillment and satisfaction than to worship the living God, to give ourselves in that service. And so it's fitting as we enter into 2025 to renew our commitments to worship, to renew our commitments to live for God as He made us to live, to prepare ourselves now for the better worship that's going to come in heaven. Therefore, it's imperative for you and me to renew our commitments to the gathering of God's people, the coming together into God's presence, to make it our chief priority to participate in Lord's Day worship at every morning and afternoon opportunity that God gives us. And there are providential hindrances. There's sickness and works of mercy and necessity that do interfere with that opportunity to be here every time, but we ought to still make it our priority to ensure that we are not absent without a very good reason, but to give ourselves to that worship, to enter into the joy of the Lord, to prepare our own hearts through the week and our families to be engaged in public worship and to come to God with expectation, to come to Him with hands out and mouths open, expecting to be filled, to be burdened, weighed down with all the blessings that He offers us. Is there anything better to do on the Lord's Day? Anything better to do on a day of worship than to come into the presence of God and worship? So let's come into His presence even now. Come to the Father through the Savior whom He has given, whose blood was shed to make this possible, and trusting and looking for Him to work in us by His Spirit who brings heaven and earth together. God calls you to strengthen your commitment to His public worship in 2025, both blessing Him and being blessed by Him. That's really what this psalm says. How that psalm is divided. Both first, our blessing God, verses 1 and 2, and then being blessed by God in verse 3. Blessing God in worship and being blessed by God in worship. This is the last psalm of ascent we heard this morning, psalms of ascent. This is what the pilgrims were singing on their way up to Jerusalem and as they worshiped in Jerusalem and would still be on their lips and on their heart as they left Jerusalem to return to their tribes and return to their home that God had given them in the promised land. But these were pilgrims who had come not just a few kilometers away, but they had traveled for days. They had come from a long ways away to come from the north or from the south to meet at Jerusalem. To come and worship. These were committed worshipers of God. They were moving lots of things, making this the priority of their life, to come and worship. And as they would come to worship God, as they would come to the temple, they would come to a place where they could not just enter in themselves. They could not just open the doors of the temple and waltz in and bring their animal for a sacrifice and do it all themselves. No. It was a mediated worship. There was a mediator between God and them, those whom God had appointed, the priests who were there offering their sacrifices, taking the animals or the grains or their offering and sacrificing it on their behalf. And with the Levites as serving the priests, being the servants, helping to conduct all these services and carry out all this work, performing all the duties that were required for the worship of God according to the way God had commanded it. These were not just a few hours each day, but this was day and into the night that these duties of sacrifices and the offerings that were made and the opening of the temple gates and the closing and the baking of the showbread and the task after task after task, receiving the tithes and offerings. And this was an active work. These are who are referred to here in this psalm, the servants of the Lord who are standing by night in the house of the Lord, not sitting, but actively standing, actively moving, actively doing the work of God. This is what is being referred to. This is who is being commanded to bless the Lord. These were those who, there was a constant activity going on in the temple. And as God's worship was being conducted, this is the language that we find in places like 1 Chronicles 23, which lay out some of the guidelines and directions for the work of the Levites and the priests. They were to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. We're going to come back to some of the most important work that they were doing day after day and night after night. And here in this psalm, Psalm 134, the first two verses are the call of the worshiper, the Israelite, the member of the church, who's coming into God, who's coming to worship God, and he's calling, or she's calling on the priests and the Levites to do their job, to do it well, to bless the Lord. It's a plural command given to all they're talking to, all the servants of the Lord. Do the work of worship well, do the work that you're doing on my behalf well. Bring God the praise. It's calling these mediators to do the work in God's special presence well. They came to God. They came to bring their offering to God. Their first concern was the worship of God. It would have been very foreign to them to come to the temple and to say, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get? Did I get anything? I'm leaving Jerusalem tomorrow. Did I get anything out of this worship that I've offered? No, their first concern, the true worshipers of God, were saying, bless the Lord. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. I am here to lift up the name of God, and you are working on my behalf. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. They desired for God to be blessed. Now, it's interesting. In this psalm, each verse has the word bless in it. In verses 1 and 2, it's the perspective of man blessing God. In verse 3, it's the perspective of God blessing man. And I know we've had these discussions before. How can we bless God? But I think it's helpful here to realize that though the same word is used, yet when it depends on who it's directed to is what it means. And I find just helpful here that Alec Moutier gives a very helpful summary of the difference. He said, when God blesses us, he reviews our needs and meets them. When we bless God, we review his excellencies and worship him. So, as you read the scriptures and you're thinking, well, he calls me to bless the Lord. How do I bless the Lord? We review his excellencies and worship him. But then we're calling on God to bless us. How does God bless us? He looks, he reviews our needs, and he meets them perfectly every time. And what these servants were being called to do then was to raise their hands, to lift up their hands in praise to the Lord, to offer to him these sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, to give the people's offerings with joy, to do it on behalf of the people who they were mediating for. And though the priests with the Levites were engaged in that actual work of killing the animals and placing them on the altar and seeing them offered up to God, yet the people who were there, of course, the worshiper was not passive. They were not just kind of doing nothing. We'll come back later and we'll see how things went. They were actively coming. They were actively bringing their offering. And here they were actively encouraging the work that was ongoing in the temple. They wanted to see God worship perfectly and purely according to every command and regulation that he had listed in the scriptures. They wanted it to continue and to be ongoing, that the worship of God would not end. And of course, this worship, as this psalm tells us, was not 9 to 5. It was not just convenient of whenever it was, you know, it was just not a day job. It was day and night, through the day. It was according to God's schedule. And one of the ways we see this in God's, in the way God has set up his worship in the Old Testament, was that every morning and every evening there was to be a burnt offering. A lamb was to be offered to God on the altar of burnt offering on behalf of the whole nation of Israel. And on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day, there were to be 2 lambs in the morning and 2 lambs in the evening. And the burnt offering, you can read more of this in Leviticus 1, but the burnt offering was that offering of whole and complete consecration, whole and complete devotion to God. It was the nation declaring to God every morning and then again in the evening, we are yours. We are given to worship you. We are given to serve you. You made us for yourself, and we are giving ourselves to you. That was what the nation declared every morning and every night as the priest, on behalf of the people, offered another lamb, and on the Sabbath, that particular day of devotion and dedication to God's worship, 2 lambs and 2 lambs. It was day and night, day after day, night after night. Well, what does this mean for our worship as we look to 2025? Are we getting an altar of burnt offering? No, we're not getting an altar of burnt offering. This is not the worship, the same in all its same forms that we have. Though our worship is still mediated, we don't have priests that go before us that make offerings to God. Our worship is mediated. We have one between us and God, and it is Jesus Christ, the great high priest. It is in his name that we come into the presence of God. It's in his name that we come to public worship. It's only through him that we can have expectation of meeting with God and have the boldness to desire to meet with God. The worship of the New Testament, after having the Old Testament worship having been fulfilled in Christ, the worship of the New Testament is simpler, but it's bolder. It's with greater access, a nearness to God, because we have the Spirit poured out upon us to draw us to God. This is what Jesus describes in John 4 to the woman at the well in Samaria, that worship is not about whether you're in Jerusalem or on Mount Gerizim or wherever the particular temple is that the people were claiming as the place of worship, but it was where those people, God's people, are gathered together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God meets, He condescends to His people. And when we gather together as the church, when we come together, God meets with us in His special presence, promising a special nearness to His people that is not the same as just every day walking with a God who is everywhere. But this is His special presence, as Psalm 100 calls out to us to do, to enter into His presence with singing, to come. We're always in the presence of God, but this is to enter into His presence in worship, enter into His, come near to Him. And God welcomes us. He brings us in. He receives us with joy. God loves to meet with you. God loves to receive your worship offered through Christ. And Christ is our great high priest. It means we don't need to have the priest. I do not stand here as your priest. I'm not your mediator with God. You don't come and pray to me and I lift your prayers up to God. I pray for you, but not as your priest. But God, Christ has actually, as Peter describes, has made us all a royal priesthood. We all now, through Christ, are able to come with our sacrifices of praise, to come with our offering of worship. We're able to come into the presence of God ourselves through Christ and offer up to Him praise and worship that He is worthy to receive. We now are the servants of God. If you're trusting in Christ, coming in His name, we are the servants who are called into His holy presence, exhorting one another to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, worship the Lord. We come by the power of Jesus. Now Jesus, He set before us this perfect example of devotion and dedication to worship God. He never needed to be encouraged to worship God. He never needed to be cajoled or exhorted to go into God, into the presence of His Father, and to enjoy that fellowship with His Father. But we need it. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded of our privileges. We need to be shown the way again. And so we're being exhorted by God through Christ to worship Him at the opportunities that He has given. And it's the Old Testament pattern of the morning and evening sacrifice that has continued in the pattern of the worship of God's people on the Lord's Day into the New Testament church. A pattern of meeting with God, of taking the whole day, seeing it as a whole day of worship, meeting morning and evening, framing the Sabbath, framing the day as a day of worship, where even though it's dark outside, we're able to gather together as God's people and receive the light of the gospel in our hearts. We're enlightened by God in here. Therefore, the call comes to us, bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Bless Him day and night, those who stand in the house of the Lord. Make the worship of God, the blessing of God, your priority. Plan for it. Shape your week around it. Prioritize it amongst all the things you could do. And die to yourself and all the things you would, in some sense, rather do. Also seeking from God that He would teach you truly that there is nothing greater to do than the worship of God. Pray for the worship to grow in your own heart, life, family, and amongst us as a church. Be true in your worship. Come not just to so everyone else sees you, but come because God is worthy to receive your blessing. In Jesus Christ, we are all servants to worship and bless our God. Is that how you're worshiping now? Coming as the servants of God, coming with an eagerness to worship Him. Is that how we're going to come next year? Together to bless His name. God calls you to strengthen your commitment to His public worship in the coming year, both blessing Him and being blessed by him. We've already considered that the primary focus of worship is blessing God, is giving him his honor, what he is due, what he is worthy to receive. But there's also, because God is gracious, there's also the fact that when you come to worship God, he promises to bless you. He promises to pour out his abundance on you. He promises to meet you and strengthen you. Come in faith and expectation to receive. And that's in verse 3, being blessed by God. Again, remember that distinction that Motir makes. When God blesses us, he reviews our needs and meets them. When we bless God, we review his excellencies and worship him. So here now is the response. Here now, God is promising to bless his people. He's reviewing our needs. When we come and gather into his presence on the Lord's Day, he reviews our needs. He sees us coming in. He doesn't expect us to come in with everything solved and figured out. He doesn't expect us to come in with making sure we look really good. He expects us to come needy and hungry and weak and poor and looking to him, coming. In verses 1 and 2, it was a plural command given to the servants of the Lord to bless the Lord. And now comes a singular response back to the worshiper. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you. You singular. You from Zion. The Lord give you what you need. You've entered empty. You will leave full. You entered poor. In spirit, you will leave rich. Struggling, you will leave with strength. Burdened, he will give you help. Coming, struggling under the curse of sin, you'll receive the blessing of the gospel. Is that too much to expect from our worship? Am I painting too high of a picture of the blessing of God? Am I setting us up for failure and disappointment? This is what God does. This is what God promises to do. This is, God is mighty to bless us. He blesses you intentionally. He blesses you personally. He blesses us together. Come, brothers and sisters, to worship in the new year with expectation of receiving what you need and you cannot provide for yourself. Come saying, Lord, fill me. I'm empty and I have nothing without you. Is he weak? Is he unable to provide? No, he's the creator. Again, we heard this morning, but again, we have this language in the Psalms of Ascent. Who is the Lord? The Lord who made heaven and earth. He is not only, he's not making empty promises, but they're full promises because he's full of might and ability, full of power to bless us, to give us what he wants to give us, what he knows we need, and to satisfy. Those blessings of peace, of communion with God, of nearness to God, those blessings of help and wisdom for the weak. It's the blessings of God going not just in worship, but going with us, that we are to come and we are to look to him with expectation and receive it by faith. It's the blessing God gives to his people from Zion. Zion was where the temple was. Zion was the place God promised to meet with his people in Israel. Zion was the place of God's special dwelling amongst his people. And when the worshipers were completed their work, God had commanded his priests to bless his people. That's what we have in Numbers 6, the blessing that we still receive today. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God says in this command, he says, so they, the priests, shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The priests were representing God to bring that blessing upon the people. It's not a prayer of the worshiper. It's not a petition they make to God ultimately, but it's a declaration. It's the word of God that he places upon his people. It's his word that you are to receive. It's the word those departing pilgrims needed as they were about to go back on the dangerous road and head back to their communities, their farms, their troubles, their hopes, their dreams, their struggles, everything. It was refreshing blessing from God. Do you come needy? Do you come longing? Do you come to hear the word of God? And then do you rejoice when you see the servant of the Lord lift his hands and pronounce the blessing of God? It's not my blessing. I'm not up here with wishful thinking. I really hope this is good. I really hope this happens to you guys. it's an authoritative declaration as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to still place the blessing of God upon his people, whether in the language of number 6 or the other biblical language of the blessings we find in the Old and New Testament. This is the work God calls Zion is the church today, and from the church, from the King, through his church, his people are blessed. The ministers of the gospel, the ambassadors of Christ are still called to bless, like was done in the Old Testament, like Jesus did. You realize, I think I maybe pointed this out recently, but when Jesus ascended up into heaven, he did so blessing his people. His arms were raised as a blessing, a benediction upon his people to bless them, to bless his disciples, to bless the church. And what this blessing says to you is that God is the God who is committed to you in all areas of life. Your God is committed to you, not just in the moments you're in his presence, special presence in worship, but he is going to go with you through the next days. He's going to go with you through the week. He's going to go with you in every area of life, in home and business and school and every area and every struggle. He will remain true to you. You can look to him with expectation and dwell on his blessing and remember, this is the God who has shone his face upon me, the God who has placed his name upon me. What more do I need? Receive that blessing. What more do you need than to be in the presence of God and to receive such a blessing? Where would you rather be? Who is going to bless you? Who's going to care for you in a greater way? These blessings of God draw us closer to him and provides for us in our walk with him. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing to be able to declare the Lord made the heavens and the earth, to know that God is the creator, to know that he is great and mighty and so far, far above us. And those are wonderful things to ponder. But it's amazing to realize that God, the Creator, who's almighty and all-powerful, has made a way to meet with us and to bless us because he wanted to, because he wants to meet with us as his people. And he's done this in public worship. He's done this in bridging heaven and earth through Christ, and especially in public worship, meeting with his people and dismissing us with his blessings. As we look then to the next year, as we look to another year of worship, another year of Lord's Days, another year of opportunities to be in the house of God, the call of God is be committed to this worship. And don't come passive, don't come slothful, don't come with little need, but come needy, come hungry, come seeking more from God as you offer him worship. This morning, we confess how God has provided for us in the past year, how God has been our help. Now, as we go into the new year, pursue God eagerly, bless his name eagerly, and seek from him what he promises, new morning mercies. And Lord's Day evening blessings. God calls you to strengthen your commitment to his public worship in 2025, both blessing him and being blessed by him. It's a fitting conclusion to these Psalms of Ascent, a fitting conclusion to our year together as the Church of Jesus Christ, an exhortation to continued worship, an exhortation to persevere and press on, a call to return to the house of the Lord to bless your Lord, to bless him and receive his blessing. Psalm 92, a psalm for the Sabbath day, begins, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Are those words your words? Is that your declaration? It is good to give thanks to the Lord morning and night to declare how great and good he is. Do you love to bless the Lord your God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and your own Savior? And do you know your need to be blessed by him? Do you know that he can satisfy that need? The Lord knows. He knows your need. That's why he offers himself to you. The Lord knows what you need. Come, receive from him week after week in dependence on him. Come as you are. And if you've not repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus, Let me take this opportunity for one more appeal here in 2024, one more opportunity to call you to Christ. Worship. Worship is the great work of your life. And if you are not in Jesus Christ, then to this point in your life, you have not offered Him true worship. You have not been able to give Him what He is due. Worship is not offered simply by showing up. Nor have you received His true blessing, nor can you expect His blessing to be given just because you've been under the words, just because the words have been spoken. They're to be received by faith. His blessings are to be received by faith. It's for those who are in Jesus Christ. You cannot worship God truly without a Savior. You need Him as your mediator. It cannot be acceptable because your sins are not washed, are not cleansed. You need forgiveness. You need new life. You need Jesus to make your worship acceptable. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make worshipers of God. He came to make us true, faithful worshipers, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In the coming year, you can live out your purpose in life of worship, God, worshiping God. Forsake your sin and flee to Christ. Run to Christ. Seek to be made a worshiper of Him. No longer putting on a show, no longer looking good, but actually worshiping Him faithfully and truly. And so in Jesus Christ, may we all be true worshipers, committed worshipers into the new year, into 2025 and forever. Let us bless the Lord and receive His blessing. Amen. Oh Lord, our prayer, our desire is to be true, faithful, committed worshipers of You. We thank You that You have made us this in many ways in our life. Though as we hear this word, we recognize where we need to grow, where our priorities need to be corrected again, where we need to be exhorted in this way. And so, Lord, we pray that this word would have that work, that You would work by Your Spirit to convict us and to not leave us alone or let us just forget this message, but that, Lord, it would make real change in our lives. And our commitments into the new year would not just be for a couple weeks like any other New Year's resolutions, but that they would be commitments that last for a lifetime. And again, Lord, we plead with You. If there are any who have been under Your word this year, and perhaps are still under Your word even this afternoon, who have heard and have resisted, have not repented, have not sought Christ, who are under the wrath of God without remedy, oh Lord, please, change them. Change their hearts, forgive their sins, make them new and true worshipers of You. That is our heart's desire. Make us a place of worship, of true, beautiful, sweet worship, that we would come each week to bless Your name, that we would know and receive Your great blessings, even as we receive Your blessing this evening. Lord, that we would receive that blessing in faith, and that we would want others to know and experience what it is to worship God and to receive Your care. Thank You, Lord, for a year of worship. Continue, Lord, to make Your word effectual and effective and powerful in our life, that it would not return empty to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.